the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. NPR is spending this week looking at climate solutions and how food and agricultural systems are tackling climate pollution and adapting to a changing planet. And we've been bringing you stories all week on our climate. So Idaho Matters wanted to bring together a panel of local farmers and organizations implementing climate smart practices here in Idaho, specifically in the Treasure Valley. And how are they adapting to changes in climate? And how are they becoming more earth friendly for themselves and the planet? Well, joining us now are Ben and Brian McIntyre with McIntyre Pastures in Caldwell, Clay Erskine, co-founder of Peaceful Belly Farm in Caldwell, and Jessica Harold, program coordinator with the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And Clay, let me start the conversation with you. For folks who aren't familiar with Peaceful Belly Farm, can you tell us a little bit about your farm and what you grow?
Sure thing. My wife and I, Josie, started Peaceful Belly 22 years ago. And so we've been farming in the Treasure Valley, growing mixed vegetables for the Boise Farmers Market. We have a CSA program, or Community Supported Agriculture Program. I make hard cider, and we have a little restaurant here on the farm. We have 30 acres in Caldwell, and we've been certified organic for most of that time. And so we've just been dedicated to growing food for the local community.
And Brian or Ben, can you tell us a little bit about McIntyre Pastures? Give us a snapshot, because you grow both plants and animals. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We started implementing animals after we started doing more no-till farming, more regenerative farming, introduced animals. So we grow them. We direct market them to our farm store here, and also do a little bit of seed production still with the farming side. And so kind of what keeps us all busy.
And Jessica, talk to folks about the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District. What are you? What does your organization do?
The Ada Soil and Water Conservation District is a governmental subdivision of the state of Idaho. And our primary role is providing non-regulatory efforts to help our natural resources. And that includes providing support for local farmers that helps them with their soil health, their water quality and quantity, and really just helping the community as a whole maintain our high quality of natural resources, and doing that through a lot of education, both through conferences and programs in the community, to just to be a resource and keep everybody up to date on the newest soil science and the newest technology that we can to implement that kind of care for resources.
Clay, you have said that you want to respect Mother Earth and try to be a good steward, especially when it comes to water and soil and the environment. So what kind of practices, what do you do to try and live by that?
Well, we've really focused the whole time we've been farming for the 22 years just on really building up the soil. Kind of the philosophy that we've had is healthy soil will grow a healthy plant that has natural immunity to pests and diseases. We've really focused on planting lots of pollinator and beneficial habitat within the farm. So it's kind of we farm like a polyculture. And so we grow many, many different types of vegetables, but then also within those vegetables, we intersperse flowering plants, herbs, habitat for bumblebees and ground nesting bees, native bees. And so we've just really wholeheartedly felt that the better the whole ecosystem, the ecosystem services will take care of us. So that's been our overall philosophy, is just taking care of the environment and working with nature rather than trying to fight nature.
So Clay, you mentioned you started Peaceful Valley 22 years ago. Did you have that same philosophy two decades ago when, you know, climate change was not as big of a topic as it is now?
Yes, Josie and I did an internship in Ashland, Oregon, and just fell in love with small scale, organic, sustainable, you know, farming. And it was kind of an anomaly when we moved back to Boise. There was a few really dedicated farmers that worked hard to get the organic regulations passed. And we've always been a part of that community. And so we've always, I think we started on a little north end, you know, a few raised beds to grow for farmers market. And about 20 pounds of cover crop seed came in the mail, and my wife thought I was crazy.
So, I like how everybody laughed on that one. So, Clay, talk to us about things like cover crops and companion plants. You use that, but how does that help the environment? And I guess for folks who don't know, what are cover crops and companion plants?
So, a cover crop is something that you can put in either to build fertility in the soil, to keep the soil covered. It's almost, if you think of the soil as like a living entity, if you're constantly, you know, cutting and scraping and causing wounds on that, you know, on that body, you have to cover it with something. You need to put a Band-Aid on there. You need to build the soil up. A lot of the modern farming practices are very tillage intensive, especially organic farming, just for weed prevention. So cover cropping is a way that you can plant multi-species of usually like a grain or a grass along with a legume like a clover or a pea or a vetch. And so that will pull nitrogen out of the atmosphere and fix it into the soil for the plants that you want to grow. And it builds your organic matter, which is basically your carbon in your soil, which improves water retention, which will help with drought stress. It improves the fertility of the microbiome of the soil, because every time you have a living root in the soil, all of the microbes in the soil are being fed. When you have bare soil, the microbes are starving. And so those microbes are what facilitates nutrients being able to be brought to the plant that you want to grow.
So Ben and Brian, I also understand that you use cover crops, but you also use something called rotational animal grazing. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, we graze cattle with electric fences on something. What he was talking about is our cover crop. So we plant the mixture of those, and then like right now we have the cattle out after that grows up and it's feeding all that life in the soil. We bring the animals in to graze that and add to the diversity. It's more life to that soil, the herd of animals coming on there with all that plant growth, and kind of is that circle of life that we learned in Lion King.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Isn't that the truth? So Ben and Brian, earlier in our chat, you talked briefly about using no-till soil practices. So what exactly is that, and why do you use that practice?
Originally, we looked into it because growing up, we were convinced the only reason our parents had us was to pick rocks. And so we looked into ways of trying to avoid picking rocks, avoid doing tillage, to not have to pick rocks. So we came across a no-till conference. We'd never heard about it. Our valley is very heavy tillage, just the way it was designed with the irrigation systems, being in the high desert. Once we looked into that, it's basically we have a planter that just will t- till right behind the last crop. It uses hydraulic pressure, presses down as deep as you want, places those seeds right into the ground, and able to get water on and keep it growing. We're running into a few. I mean, we're always learning. We're trying to get a lot of animal impact. We're having a little bit of compaction problems that we're trying to always figure out, but it keeps from tilling up the ground, releasing that carbon, just trying to keep the worms and everything living in the ground alive and not causing a typhoon basically to come and destroy everything that they've spent time building to make it work under the ground.
So Jessica, the conservation district works really hard to actually help farmers navigate new ways of growing and planting. And I mean, we just heard from Clay, Ben, and Brian about quite a few practices. So can you talk maybe about some of the practices that farmers are adapting to be more sustainable?
It is a lot of what they just mentioned, that no-till farming can provide so many benefits, and science is just really starting to explore all of the benefits. You know, there's a lot of talk about the microbiome in our bodies and then seeing how closely it aligns with like the microbiome in the soil, and just really recognizing how much of a role all the microbes play. So just all of the technologies that these guys are implementing on their property, and a lot of other farmers are starting to, can be so beneficial for not only the soil, but for our nutrition as well. So just the range of practices, looking at no-till, more targeted water management, it all plays a huge role, and their technology is fantastic, what they're trying to do on their farms.
So I want to turn to food right now, because Clay, Peaceful Belly is known for its really incredible farm to fork dinners. Tell folks how those work exactly.
Well, my wife started doing the farm to fork dinners just as a celebration of local food and what we grow on the farm. And so how it works is that it's set out in our farm, out in the field, and it's a multi-course meal. And so it's based on seasonality. So it moves through the season with what is available for Josie to cook in the kitchen. And it's just a great way, and everyone sits at a communal table. And so it's a little bit of a higher end meal. And so people sit and get to know each other, build community, get to know each other in a beautiful setting, eating wonderful food, and just kind of a celebration of the farm. As well as the farm to fork dinners, we also do what we're calling a community meal, which is more based on that building community idea. So folks show up, and we walk into the field and pick vegetables. They pick the vegetables, bring them into the kitchen, and we all cook together. And then we all sit down at a communal table and have a meal together. And that's more of a community building project with our community garden. And it's inexpensive. So it's only $3 per person. And so we want to do both. We want to build community and celebrate in a kind of a fancier way, but then also make it available for everyone else.
So, you know, Clay, you mentioned seasonality. How important is that to things like, you know, less food waste, right? Just and similarly, I'm curious about your thoughts on eating locally grown produce and how that can also impact food waste.
That's a big issue. That's pretty complicated. But yeah, seasonality is really important, I feel, because when you go to the store and you see heirloom tomatoes in the middle of winter that come from very, very far away, when farmers like us have heirloom tomatoes available now, people almost become blasé about it. It's not special. It's not fancy. or it's not, you know, a celebration. It's more of like, oh, there's heirloom tomatoes. So I feel like buying local and buying in season is a way to celebrate where you're at. And so you're not trying to have everything all the time. And you always look forward to when the heirloom tomatoes come back on again, or when the first pea comes out of the field and you pick your first snap pea or something like that. It's just, it grounds you more in where you're at and the community around you.
Ben and Brian, I know along with crops, McIntyre Pastures grows a lot of protein. I mean, we're talking chickens, pigs, cows. Can you talk to us about how you do things like putting chickens and cows in the same pasture and why you do that?
Yeah. So it's the diversity back to adding more life. You know, we live in a living environment, although most of us don't are detached from that. So the chicken follows along behind, say, the cattle, and they're eating the fly larvae and the parasites out of the manure, adding more fertility to the land and producing more food for our local community. And we like to consider ourselves as regenerative farmers, and we're regenerating the communities of the soil through this. And so we have a saying that your nutrients start with our soil. So it just helps, you know, getting that whole food back into the community here locally to help us all heal and heal the land in the same time. So the more diversity in the plants to the animals, the better the community grows.
And Ben and Brian, my understanding is that you really try to use all parts of the animals that you grow. How do you do that? And also, does that help reduce waste when you are really being mindful about that animal?
Yeah, I mean, the whole purpose we have this animal is to utilize it. So we try to do you know, pet treats out of ears and chicken skin and feet, and kind of use as much of the animal as possible so it's not going to waste. There's nutrients, there's value to it if we can find a way to use it and to have it help us, I guess.
Yeah, that animal's giving its life, so it's actually it's good to be able to use it all and put it all to good use, whether it's through, you know, food for us or even the pets. And people, our customers are really liking that side too, even the pet treat. So it makes us all feel good that animal that sacrificed its life for us is giving the most for it, utilized the most.
Jessica, I have just under 2 minutes left. Can you know, we've talked about a lot of ways local farmers are becoming more sustainable. I'm curious, do you believe this is a trend, or is this really a good business investment and a good investment truly in the future of our environment?
I think that the current cost that we don't really account for is all of the pollution and overspray if we are not managing our chemical usage properly. And that has to be paid for further down the line. Really looking at it as an entire system instead of just like piecing out parts of the business model is really where we need to focus. So if we want to still maintain our healthy rivers and healthy soil and have water for future generations is one of our biggest concerns in Idaho right now. We really do need to look at this way of green farming to be able to maintain the way of lifestyles that we have been accustomed to with where we feel like we have a lot of water in the system because of our irrigation system. But when we're really looking at it, it's only if we manage it well and improve our local agriculture that we are really going to be able to continue that current lifestyle. So, green farming, climate smart farming can be really difficult to be profitable because it is, like Clay said, very tillage intensive, and it is more labor intensive because it's not a set it and forget it kind of routine, and we have to work within the landscape. But I think it is more than a trend. People want healthy food in their communities, and just with the way of resources and the population growth, at some point it will be more critical than it feels now to really continue with these practices and expand them into just more than a small community. It should really look to the wider community of how we're using these practices.
Mm-hmm. Clay, let me wrap up with you, because you do believe that Peaceful Belly is more than a farm or a farm to fork business. You call it a way of thinking. How important is that mindset when it really comes to seeing and making changes to the way that we farm?
I think it just comes back to being aware and living in place. So when you drive around the valley, or you come out here to Canyon County and you see farming happening around, I think when you start buying local food and you start becoming involved in the local food system, you become aware of what's happening around you, which really helps ground yourself in Idaho. A lot of the farming here in Canyon County is being developed. So one year you'll come out here and a farm will be a mint field, and then the next year it's a lot of houses. And so just being aware of how farming is integrated into our landscapes and how we can look to the future and keep farming as part of our lifestyle here in Southern Idaho, I think is really important, because without farms, all of our food comes from far and far away. And a lot of the farms here in Idaho are seed farms. You know, we grow a lot of the seed for the world. And so what our farms do here affect outside of our own community, but they also create a way of life that a lot of people really enjoy. And so being a part of the local food movement really makes you aware and grounded about what's happening around you.
I want to thank all of you so much for taking time to talk about this. We've been speaking with Ben and Brian McIntyre with McIntyre Pastures, Clay Erskine, co-founder of Peaceful Belly Farm in Caldwell, and Jessica Harold, program coordinator with the Idaho Soil and Water Conservation District. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.